This is episode 148, recorded on February 21st, 2014. Packard Pokes at. Packard pokes an Avatar slave until he's Thor. Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
Colin Closet asserts that if we allow same-sex couples to marry, then the next thing we know we'll be allowing people to marry their parents, their cars, and even monkeys.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the slippery slope fallacy. You said that if we allow A to happen, then Z will eventually happen too. Therefore, A should not happen.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com.
Do you really like Packard Pokesat and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesat. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesat helps support the show. Your Packard Pokesat coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokesat on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokesat, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokesat. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And join us tonight from the far middle of nowhere is Dave, your damned.
Greetings and salutations.
And join us from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
We're having a heat wave. Nope. I'm sending warm thoughts.
Send warm thoughts.
Warm and wet here. So. Just wet.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not snow and several like a couple feet of it, because that's what we've got here. We had such nice weather several days ago, and now it's all snow. It's like we had spring and then we had fall and we had winter in 3 days. It's Wisconsin. You don't like the weather? Stick around 5 minutes or a day or two. It'll change. Anyway, this is episode 148 for everybody who's keeping track at home there. Oh, we have some wonderful stories for you tonight, so let's get going to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
There's a lot of problems in the world today, some that we just cannot solve. And there's things that get solved even when we don't need them to be solved. Or solutions to problems that we just cannot figure out. There's a math problem from a while back that they've been trying to figure out what the end route of this number would be. And they put it into a computer, and the computer started working on it and working on it. And I don't think they ever expected an answer, but it found an answer. But the problem here is we can't check it because the computer says, hey, here's the answer. And it's not the answer is not 42. It's not like in the movie Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where the answer is 42. It's a huge-ass number that we cannot calculate on our own without another computer to check it. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, the answer might not be 42, but I still think that this computer is a lot like deep thought.
Yeah.
The computer was set up to solve this problem, and the answer that it came up with is as long as all of the Wikipedia articles combined, which is absolutely absurd. And if humans were to check it, it would take all sorts of humans taking just small portions of the problem or larger portions, really, but small comparatively to the actual answer that it came up with.
Right.
And trying to check it. Much like Hitchhiker's Guide, I wonder if they'll turn around and create another computer to check the work
of
this computer. Right? So we have to create a computer to come up with the question in order to check the answer.
Right. You know, the thing is, the question for this was made up by a mathematician named Paul Edros, and he imagined a number. It was a random number, infinite sequence of numbers containing nothing but plus ones and negative ones. So he was interested in knowing which one of the sequences would contain which internal pattern. So I wouldn't. I'm not a mathematician. I have to use a calculator for simple stuff because.
Yeah, and back in the 1930s, he offered $500 to anyone who could solve it.
Oh well.
And no one.
Well, current inflation. Just think about it. With current inflation, that $500 would be about $10,000 or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
I don't know. So like I said, I'm bad at math. So.
I mean, either way, no one's ever going to collect that money now that this computer solved it, or right. Maybe didn't solve it.
We don't know. it's amazing that we've got this thing out there. We can't even check it because, you know, Skynet's coming, man, and it's figured shit out before us. Kind of your thoughts.
I guess I'm curious, you know, if the computer is accurate with other proofs, can we extrapolate that if it's accurate, you know, in 100 out of 100 proofs of other things, can we just make the assumption? I mean, we have to make the assumption, I suppose, that mathematicians would rather actually know. And the article kind of hints that they're going to do what Dave suggested, is just give it to another computer, mm-hmm. but use another computer, but use a different method. And if it arrives at the same proof, then it's probably correct.
Right.
So I don't know. Computers are getting too damn smart out there,
they're
I guess.
They're too damn smart for your own good.
We need to evolve a little faster.
They're too smart for their own good.
Yeah, can a proof be accepted if no human reads it?
If a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? It says that it compares, Dave, you alluded to that, that it says the answer is compared to the size of the Wikipedia, which is a 10 gigabyte download. So if you want to ever download the whole Wikipedia site and then, you know, make your own changes, I guess, if you wanted to, I suppose, it's 15,000 pages of calculations. I mean, that's a lot of calculations, and trying to figure this out, it just boggles the mind.
That's a big chalkboard.
Yes, it is. Did somebody dig up Einstein or somebody else? Maybe we can get, I don't know, some other math geeks on this, I guess. I mean,
well, there's a little three-year-old girl who tested at, 160 IQ or something mm-hmm. out there. Maybe she can.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? More than I got here. It was just, I need a calculator to do simple math.
I've made peace with math. That's about it.
Yeah, there you go.
We get along fine by just, you know, small talk.
Right, right.
I take it this is a little bit more complex than a TI-85.
Right. Yeah, they were using a couple of iPads and they were just swinging around and going, whee! I don't know what kind of computers they're using, but they must have been using some kind of supercomputers to get this
I'm
done.
I'm telling you, it's deep thought.
Yes, it's deep thought. Speaking of deep thought, they've been working on this for some time. If you've ever seen the movie Avatar, these people, they go into a coffin-type device, and then they wake up, and they're inside this other body. And these bodies are basically just automatons that they just kind of like stick their minds into. There's a brain interface that they've been working on with lower primates. They hooked up a chip. One was the master and one was the slave. It's, you know, it's a bad terminology, but in the computer industry, that's your primary drive is the first drive or the master drive, and the secondary drive is always the slave drive. In this instance, the master in this instance was the main primate, and he was awake, and they stuck the chip in a control chip of some sort of a type into another primate, but they didn't want to disable the monkey. They wanted to, you know, so to test this out. So they put him just to put the other second chimpanzee or monkey or whatever it was to sleep. And the monkey that was awake, he started moving his hand around on a joystick or something, and he was able to move the hand on the other primate. So it's like if I was controlling Dave when he pounds on his keyboard from here, and instead of typing Madeline, you know, he could be doing something else. But the way this is set up, what this is alluding to, I should say, is there's a lot of people out there with spinal injuries because the signals are not getting from the brain down to the hand or the legs or whatever, and they're trying to reroute these neurons so they go around the injured part, so that way once the person gets injured, or if a person should get injured like this, they can just reroute the thought patterns from that to from point A to point B without having to go through straight through. Dave, your thoughts?
First off, my pounding on the keyboard is unreal.
I was making a general not observation there, Dave.
Uncontrollable. Mm-hmm. Second off, this obviously will come in a lot of hand, like it'll be very handy when we go to Pandora to
buy
her unobtainium.
Right. I always thought that was really ridiculous. Let's get our new subs. What are we going to call? Unobtainium? Whatever.
Right, because they can't obtain it.
Right.
How clever.
Oh, really clever.
No, I mean, this has all sorts of applications, and obviously that's one of the important ones, is being able to reroute the brain to be able to control limbs that we no longer have any control over. You know, I wonder if this is something that the military will eventually use in order to control essentially avatars to go out into the field while someone is still back at the base. I mean, feasibly in the future, we could all have our own avatars going out and we can just be bat slobs at home and have an avatar go out and look however we want it to.
Sure. They probably have a more interesting sex life than I would right now.
Well, no comment.
No, I'm saying, just imagine you're like, I'm like,
I don't want to imagine.
No. Just like, so it's like you're a single guy. You're not the most really attractive, but you get this avatar that's like really hot and sexy, and you're like, I'm hooking into this thing, and I'm gonna go out, and I'm gonna get laid, I guess, like, you know.
This is why we can't have nice things.
I'm a sick puppy.
Yeah, like people on the dating scene don't lie enough already.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it's like, exactly.
How can I use this to have sex?
Right.
That's clearly
we are animals.
You know, this is someone's going to think of this later on. They're going to say, "Well, you know, maybe we can start using it for this." You know, because you know, sex drives the industry.
Later on, my ass. It's the first thing I thought of.
See, I wasn't the only, you thought it, but I said it, so.
You didn't have to if you knew you would. Is
right.
That's right. I planted the seeds in Packer's
sure,
mind.
There you go. He was directly controlling my brain. But oh, Connie, your thoughts.
Oh, it reminded me in the movie Pacific Rim because they have these giant robots. I'm assuming people might have seen it, and it requires
one or two people saw it, I think,
to drive them, mainly because they basically hook the robot into, you know, like into the brain of the person running it. It's like a helmet,
right?
But it's so strong that it caused nosebleeds and damage to the person running it. So they realized, well, we need two people to run it, but they have to be in sync. And so they have neural coupling, where two people are interfacing. And so I was like, gosh, it just, you know, to me that just sounded kind of like that. And they can get into each other's heads and they're both moving at the same, you know, they're moving coordination and they're driving the robot. And it's funny, too, that they're talking about the same application of basically what the person in the movie Avatar, you know, that's really the point, is his character is in a wheelchair. Not everybody else is, but he is. And so for him, this avatar is a chance to actually get out and move and run around
again.
Have a second chance at, you know, just living his life. And it also made me think, one more third thing it made me think about was that robotic hand that we talked about a few weeks ago that the guy didn't get to keep, but they had the wires and stuff. And I'm going, this is kind of similar to that, isn't it? I mean,
I think so, yeah. It's probably wrong. It's probably wrong on the same technology.
Mm-hmm. So, very exciting.
You know, actually, the first thing I thought about when I was reading this, I was, you know, those...
After sex?
After sex, right.
Okay.
Actually, that's all right. The first things I was thinking of, you know, those monster movies that they put on, you know, like someone, there's an old one where this guy gets into an accident and they stick another head on the body. And you've seen this in a lot of movies, but both people can't control the body at the same time because they're both fighting for control until like one of them falls asleep. Then the other person's got all the control over the entire body. I think this is, it's right along the same lines. I mean, it's that kind of science fiction, only it's in reality. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool. Anyway, speaking of things that are weird and out of there, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Well, it's that time of year again when the crazies come out and then they say, it's the end of the world. Well, we are having that again. And this time, it's not Harold Camping because, well, he's dead. And it's not the really right-wing religious nut jobs. It's Thor. He's coming back. And it's not going to be pretty. So Thor, Loki, and all the rest, they are going to attack Saturday. So by the time you actually get to hear this, it may be already be too late. According to Norse mythology, the end of the world is ending this Saturday. But it was supposed to be 100 days until an epic battle. I just found out about it, so sorry. But the good news is, hey, being it's this late, if you had a wedding to go to and you really didn't want to go to, or a meeting you had to go to, well, guess what? Now you don't have to go. It's based on the story behind Ragnarok, also known as the Viking Apocalypse or Doom of the Gods, is arguably the most spectacular, and imaginative than anything Hollywood could dream up. Now, they're going to be having a mock battle out in Jorvik Viking Center in the UK, and they predicted that the world's end in February 22nd. But they do is they have a fake battle to celebrate this. And I don't know if this is something that happens all the time or not, it's something kind of funny. Dave, your thoughts?
Wouldn't it be cool if, like, modern religions had moved to the point where it was all, like, fake battles instead of people actually thinking the world was going to end?
It would be a lot better.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, Jesus nailed up on some sticks. Thor carried a hammer. You do the math.
Come on, seriously, Odin got rid of ice giants.
Right.
Do you see ice giants today? No? Awesome.
Right.
Proof.
Good. Proof. It's proof. That's right. You don't see the ice giants. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Oh, no, I think this is so silly. I mean, we've got the Mayan end of the world. We've got the Viking end of the world. We've mm-hmm. got, I mean, every religion, to me, every religion is mythology. It just depends on whether or not someone is currently believing it or if we've moved past that.
Right.
But, I mean, throughout time, each of these mythological stories has an end-of-the-world sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And this one happens to be a lot cooler than a lot of the other ones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this epic battle, and then the world splits open, and the underworld comes up. And, I mean, by the time the world splits open, I assume we'll all be dead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'll be the last thing I have to worry about. You know, if this world splits open, I'm not going to go, yeah, let's go jump down there. Oh, I'll get my splunking gear. You know. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, what's cool about this Viking apocalypse is that... No one's taking it seriously. It's just mm-hmm. this big party, and
yes.
You know, it's fun. And I had a lot of fun reading about the mythology, and you know, I guess that they say here that the few gods who survive will go to Ottaval, which they'll rebuild houses. And before the battle, two people, a woman and a man, Lif and Liftrasr, will find shelter in the sacred tree, and when the battle is over, they will come out and populate the earth again. So, I guess there's a new earth after this. When the Mayan apocalypse happened, there was a lot, we were all talking about it, and it's funny because Mayans, basically, they set their calendar, that they just couldn't imagine that there would be anything else after their reign.
Right.
And I've wondered if that is what it is with every single religion or society, culture, is that this is just their solution because they can't see that their reign will ever end.
Right.
And so they make it so that they're the victors. They're the ones who finish everything. And that's why there's these stories. It's mythology that's been permeates everything, you know, ancient cultures. So, yeah. Anyway, so see, it's going to get warmer.
It's going to get warmer. Yes. That's then we have something to look forward to here in Wisconsin. The weather's going to change.
Furnace, but yeah.
Then the snow will melt quickly. Of course, so will I.
We'll get marshmallows out and hot dogs. And
eat them while I'm cooking.
That's right.
They'll cook it out, so will I.
then the ice giants and all the other giants.
Yes.
Going to come up, will eat us. You know, they'll skewer us, I guess.
Well, the ice giants, so then you'll cook, then freeze.
I have it here. The Jotuns, the frost Jotuns. Giants, were banished. Yes. And so they have a bunch of different giants in that mythology or something.
I assume the ice giants will melt first.
Maybe.
I mean, if there's an order to things, that's probably at the beginning, right?
It could be. I always see them trying to fight like other mythical creatures, and they just seem like they get an arm blown off and they like grow it right back. So it's like, oh, well, they're made of snow and ice and shit. So, you know, it it's crystalline structure type thing, sort of, I guess, you know, like snow.
I assume fire is their kryptonite.
Yeah, but they're really big, so it takes a lot of fire, like a nuclear blast. You're not carrying a nuclear weapon on you, are you, Dave?
Not when the NSA is listening.
He already told you, Dave. He has a lighter.
That's right. He has a lighter.
Right. I do. I've got a cigarette lighter, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Don't come near me, Mr. Giant. I get a cigarette lighter. He's going to go. Speaking of things way up in the air, crocodiles down in the lower states, that they can climb. Yes, they climb trees. So if you happen to be down in the bayou and you are out walking around and you're thinking, oh, all the crocs are in the water, you might want to look up once in a while because these some bitches are up in the trees there. They learned that from the University of Tennessee researcher Vladimir Dinitz.
Vladimir Dinitz.
Okay, had they were doing some studies on this, and what's really interesting is since the crocodile, it doesn't look like the animal has evolved to climb trees, but they have videotape or pictures of. There's actually pictures on the page here. Of alligators up in, or these crocodiles, excuse me, alligators, different animal, crocodiles up in trees. Now, they theorize that these animals, they climb up there so, you know, they can get warm and whatnot, but they're also looking for prey and other predators, of course. What was really interesting in this article is that these crocs are actually really very smart. What they do is they take sticks. They'll grab sticks and stuff like, you know, stuff that birds will use, and they will get it, and they'll place it on the tip of their nose, and they will sit in the water for several hours waiting until a bird will come by to grab the twigs or branches or whatever, so they think, you know, that the bird's going to want to make a nest. And then when they get close enough, then they reach up and snap out of the water and try to eat the bird. Dave, your thoughts?
So crocodiles are really awesome, as they're kind of a way for us to look at dinosaurs. I mean, they're probably one of the animals that has changed the least since 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs went extinct. Of course, crocodiles were around 200 million years ago.
Right.
They used to be a lot larger. They used to be like 40 feet long in many cases. The larger crocodiles died out. The smaller ones survived whatever it is that actually killed the dinosaurs.
Right.
I wonder, now they're saying in this article that they've seen them doing this for several decades.
Yeah.
Now, in the scope of 200 million years, a couple or a few decades isn't really that long.
No.
I wonder if this is a newer thing that they've kind of started to do in recent time as opposed to in the past. I mean,
I think from what I understand, it could be that just people who live down in that area just happen to know about this because they've known about it for some time. They just, it never sure. been really explored or even under, I don't know if it's understood or just happened to be looked at for the first time. Cool. So someone said, yeah, these crocs are up in the trees. And like, what are you talking about? Because if you look at it, they don't look like they can climb trees. They climb trees right. up to 30 feet up into the air.
Right.
That's more than I can do.
Right. But I guarantee you a 40-foot-long crocodile is not climbing trees. You know, what I'm saying is that they may have done it more recently in time, and that's why we're noticing it now, and it doesn't seem as though they would do it. They also climb very slowly.
So yes.
If you're trying to get away from a crocodile, climbing a tree is still a feasible way to get up there and get away from them, considering how slowly they climb.
Right. See, the reason why I think it's not a recent thing, but if you look like a smaller lizard, a lot of lizards, they can climb trees because they, of course, they would drive pre-climb. They're driving the tree. They're driving the tree. They're climbing up on the tree. And, you know, because they got the little claws in there and they're climbing up to get to insects and things like that. So I don't think it's out of the ordinary or out of the thought process of thinking, you know, these crocodiles, since they have, you know, the big claws and everything, that they can grab a hold of that stuff and they could.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They obviously do.
Yes, and there is pictures of this. This is really awesome. The fact that there's these crocs now are up in the trees. I mean, I would have never thought of that. It's just like they're coming from below and above. You know, yeah. Connie, your thoughts?
It's just it's a little bit disconcerting. Although my youngest daughter got really excited. She's a big herpetology fan.
Ah.
Well, it says that the. The junior ones, the juvenile ones, will climb vertically. And then as the larger that they get, they'll go out like on a angled branch. But there's a certain size beyond which they don't do this anymore.
Right.
And, you know, I would speculate, too, that we have already changed a lot of the topography. We've changed the way that Florida looks, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, we've changed the swamps. And is this something to do with the environment that they're living in changing or shifting?
Right. We put Walt Disney in everywhere.
Australia.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's just, it could be a combination of the two, but my oldest daughter pointed out, you know, because we already said these are ancient, really, really, really old species. And so they're very smart. They're very intelligent. We're finding out how much they learn and, you know, continue to learn. Even if it was only 200 years, even if it's only been in the last 100 years that we started observing this, you know, that's still a fairly new behavior.
Yeah.
And adaptation, I guess, you know.
Well, the country is only about 200 years old. I mean, we haven't, there's a lot of places, even in the United States, that are still relatively unexplored, as they say, because we don't have, like, roads out to the middle of the bayou. You have to get out there by airboat or regular boat or whatever. And these places are relatively untouched by most people. And a lot of them are protected wetlands. So the fact is that this is something that's not been observed before. I don't think it's really that out of the ordinary. I mean, the fact is we're finally getting around to get out there to check out the wildlife and to really examine it. This could have been going on for over 100 million years, and we just finally just noticing it now because we're just finally getting out there now.
Well, the other thing I looked at, I'm like, wait, what is it that they should be afraid of? You know, the potential threats in looking for prey.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, usually it winds up being other crocs or other gators, the
yes.
bigger ones that they have to look out for.
Right.
There's fewer opportunities for them to bask in lower lands than they will go up into these branches.
Right.
And bask up there. But yeah, so.
It makes me wonder if a crocodile get up there, it's like, oh, that branch looks good, and he gets up there, right in the water.
we'd better start becoming more intelligent because the monkeys and the alligators and they're all, I don't know.
Everything's climbing trees now.
Smart. Getting smarter.
They're getting smarter. Yes, they are. Who says there's no such thing as evolution? Come on now.
Go down south, look up in the tree. You got a real pretty mouth.
You got a real pretty mouth.
Yes. They do ding, ding, ding. Crocodile up there playing the banjo. So. Okay.
Oh, my. I don't want to even think about that. It makes me happy I'm living in Wisconsin. There's no crocodiles in the trees.
You're loving the snow now, huh?
I like my snow. No crocodiles in the snow.
Snow's a damn.
When the crocodiles start coming up here and they start digging out of the snow, then I'm going to start worrying. But that snow over there is moving.
The groundhog is going to be bringing your mail then, I think.
Uh-huh. We won't have to worry about that damn groundhog anymore because the crocs get them.
That's right.
And speaking of getting people, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at 662-709-PAP or 662-709-7727. And we're going to give you some more information, how you can get in touch with us in other ways. And we'll be back here in just a few moments, and we can ruin the rest of the show.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work. But you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on FawnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe, even though he's not here in the chat room. I don't know how. He just happens to get in here somehow. He's not. I don't know how he does it. He just gets in here. Anyway, speaking of getting in and around in the water, we're going to get on to our next topic for this evening. Let's say that you've just won the jackpot, a couple $1 million. You're set for life. You can go and do anything, including, hey, you know, there's this thing that most people say, you know, I'm going to take myself on a sea cruise. I'm going to go see the world. Well, that might not be such a good idea. Apparently, this is a big problem in the industry when they hire people. And they hire these people who work for the sea industry and these cruise lines through certain places in like the Caribbean and India and so forth. They don't do a whole lot of background checks. And because they don't do a lot of background checks, things can happen. A cruise ship attendant, he confessed to raping a female passenger on Valentine's Day. Hey, what a great day on Valentine's Day. And tried to toss her overboard, according to the arrest affidavit filed in Tuesday on Miami Federal Court. The 31-year-old passenger, only identified as CLW, fought off her attendant in her stateroom and on the balcony, and she managed to flee down into the hallway with the cord from a curling iron wrapped around her neck. And while she was getting away, at one point she did pass out, and somebody else, they found her, and they did get back to Miami, and they shipped her off. Well, not shipped her off. They took her off in a helicopter to the hospital on land there. This is a big problem in the industry. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are doing this. They are doing this because they are sending money back home for their families or whatever. They're trying to take care of their families. A good portion of these people are doing the right thing. But the industry itself is kind of screwed up because they are not policing this. There's really no way to really look into this, the backgrounds, because like I said, in some places you have to, you just give the little bit of money to the cop who's making, you know, $250 a month. So he's going, well, you know what? I say you're A-OK, and there's no other checks, and that's it. You got a certificate from somebody that says this person's OK, and they get on there, and they could do anything. They could be putting terrorists on the board. I'm not trying to put a scare tactic in there, but that's a possibility because there are all these people out there that do not get thoroughly checked. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the real issue here is that the background checks are not done. They're not done well.
Right.
They're not using, the cruise lines aren't actually doing the recruiting themselves. They're hiring third-party recruiters in order to find the people to work on these ships. And they're bringing them in from any country that's, you know, that they're recruiting them from, really.
Right.
Not every country has a sex registry. Not every country has good files and paperwork on what kind of criminals are there, or what, you know, who's a violent criminal and who's not.
Right.
So it's very difficult for these cruise lines to be able to properly find out who they're actually hiring.
Right.
This story was really disturbing to me, and I don't know that I have a lot of thoughts about it aside from the fact that it's just sickening that this is happening so prevalently. This woman in this specific thing, that the story that we have is from Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
This man had gotten upset at her because she had said, "Wait a minute, son of a bitch."
Yeah. That's a good reason to beat the hell out of somebody and rape them, because they said, "Wait, hang on, son of a bitch."
Yeah, wait a minute, son of a bitch. And it's a situation where, like many people who abuse others, they're blaming the victim.
Yeah, it's victim blaming.
Exactly. He then proceeded to sexually assault her. Mm-hmm. He beat her with a laptop and her electric curling iron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's brutal what he did. He tried to throw her into the ocean as they were moving.
Right.
And then he wasn't apprehended until later because he was half naked jumping from balcony to balcony.
Thought he was Spider-Man, apparently.
Yeah.
Without the costume or the webbing.
I mean, just absolutely absurd what's going on. The cruise ships seem to think that the amount of people who disappear from cruise ships on a yearly basis is acceptable because it's the same amount, the same percentage that happens on land. And I just think to myself, like, well, isn't their job to protect you on a cruise ship? And
I would think so.
Why would anyone disappear? I mean, how is this acceptable in any way? I have no idea.
Well, I guess they figure, well, you get off at another country, you just don't get back on the boat in time because you've missed the boat, whatever, so that you just discover you're missing, and then you just make other arrangements, and you don't try to get back on the boat. You're just like, screw it, I'm going to go home from here, and they don't really bother thinking about it. But,
well, yeah, but I mean, I've been on cruises, and they do headcounts before they leave. I mean, they make sure everyone's back on the boat before they're leaving.
There was an incident. This is not a cruise ship. This was there's a movie based on this where a couple went on a charter cruise, a charter out just off of the coast of Australia. And this is a small group. This wasn't thousands of people, which are hundreds of thousands of people, or how many people fit on these boats. I don't know. This was just a small group of people. There's like a total of 6 or 10 people. And 2 people got left behind. That was a small group. This guy didn't realize it until, like, later. It's like, oh, my gosh, where are these people at? And they didn't put it together. Now, you try to imagine if this is a larger boat, it's going to be much harder to keep track of all these people because some people are going to be drinking on the job. Someone's not going to be doing their job properly. They're going to be sleepy. They got to go use the bathroom. They got to come back. Whatever reason that they got to come up with, but they're not going to be able to keep track because someone's going to sneak by. They're not going to pay attention.
That's going to happen. But I mean, drinking on the job and being sleepy are not excuses.
No, I didn't say it was excuses. I'm just saying that this is what probably happens. I mean, these are things. People make mistakes. Or they say, oh, well, I miscounted somewhere, and I counted one too many, or I counted one too little. Maybe a kid stepped by, he ran by me, I didn't see him in time. You know, These things happen, unfortunately. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just saying these are things that happen, unfortunately. And like these are thousands of people every day. And it's hard to keep track of all that many people. So I don't know how Noah did it. All those animals. Never mind. I'm just joking. Connie, your thoughts?
Just wanted to say on this one guy we're talking about here,
right.
Ketut Punjayasa. He actually, he knocked on this gal's door three times, and that's when she told him, you know, wait, just wait a minute, you SOB. He went ahead and he stalked her all day. Mm. He stalked her all day long, and then used his pass key, got in, and he was waiting on her balcony. When she came back to her room, that's when he attacked her. And the only reason he stopped is someone was pounding on the door outside. And just absolutely frightening. The thing that really bothered me in this original story was when the president and chief executive of Holland Cruise Lines says, to our knowledge, no incident like this has ever occurred in our company's 140-year history, and I was smelled bullshit.
Right.
I was like, there's no way. There's no way that this could be, you know, and I'm going, it's like deniable plausibility or something, because it just, and the numbers are really frightening. I don't care how many thousands of people cruise each year. I just don't think that this is an acceptable, you know, thing to happen. Now, if you have passenger to passenger stuff, I don't want to say I can understand, but that could be more understandable.
Right.
But to have the crew doing this, no. It makes me think that I never want to ever cruise. I never wanted to do it anyway, but to be, especially to be a woman traveling, I don't mean to put it that way, but yeah.
There are cruises out there. They specialize for the single girl, the single guy, and then like they set these people up, or you can't leave, so you're kind of stuck on the boat, as it were. These singles cruises or couples cruises or whatever, and this is a big industry for this kind of stuff. So the fact is that somebody got on there who could have been and one of the people. This was a different story, but it's right along the same lines. A guy was out in California. He was he apparently had attacked a minor, and he had been living out on the sea for 4 years. 4 years. And he had a picture of him on next to one of the boats, and an industrious cop looked up his name on Google, for fuck's sakes, and found him. And had his arrest record, and it was right there, and found him that way. They couldn't fucking check Google for this guy's, and this is California, mind you, California.
They don't check Google, though. I know a number of people who have passed background checks that wouldn't have had the company actually Googled their name.
That's why I use Packard Sign. No, I'm just kidding.
Googling your name is not part of a background check whatsoever, and it completely should be.
Right. Oh, absolutely. No, I have Googled my name, and I enjoyed every minute of it. sorry. They could have done more. I mean, but they didn't, and that's a big problem with the industry. With all this technology, and it takes a lot of technology to keep these ships afloat, that they could just the prevention of getting somebody on the ship there that could be either a wanted felon or somebody that's, you know, has some kind of mental disorder or something like that, where they're just a basic hothead and should not be around people on a confined area.
Well, this industry needs to be, something needs to happen with it. They keep making these ships bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And it's irresponsible. They don't report. They don't keep, you know, they say they work with the FBI and they do FBI checks, but it looks like a hush hush thing to me.
Yeah, like the Catholic Church out on the water.
and there's already a rape culture on cruise ships anyway.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the alcohol and the partying and the confined space and there is a culture for rape that happens with the people who are going on cruises.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that too.
It's just very disturbing to see that the staff themselves are active participants of that as well.
Yeah.
Well, knowing they have keys. They have access to keys. They have access to everything.
Exactly, yeah.
That's disturbing.
It doesn't take much. I mean, the fact is that they, like you both alluded to, that they have the pass keys. So if one of these people out there that work for the industry, and if they're nuts enough, then they have access to your room. Where are you going to hide on a ship? I mean, where? Because they have access to everywhere. I mean, you don't know who you can turn to, because in some cases, like Dave said, it's rape culture. Some of these people could be in, you know, little gangs or whatever. So you don't know who to turn to in some cases. It's really a sad situation. Speaking of sad situations, if you go to McDonald's sometime. Yes, let's all go to McDonald's. Let's go from a cruise ship into the McDonald's. It's a great segue. If you go to McDonald's and you're a firefighter, you know, the firefighters out there, they have a hard job. And this lady out in, I believe it was in New York there. This lady, her name is Heather Livia. She's 23 years old from Olean, New York. She works at a McDonald's. She's been working there for 8 years. And some firefighters came in. They were apparently had just gotten off of a job, and she wanted to show her appreciation. She asked her manager, well, hey, these guys just got done fighting a fire. Can we, as the store, you know, have the store pick up the tab for these firefighters, since, you know, they saved some people's lives or whatever happened there? And the store manager, he goes, no, not going to do it. So she goes, you know what? Fine. I'll pay for it myself. And the firefighter, unbeknownst to the firefighters at the time, they didn't know. So they, oh, well, hey, that's nice of McDonald's. They're looking out for the community and the firefighters. And then one of the firefighters got wind of the fact is who paid for this was this girl. So they got a little outraged. The fact is that, and they found out that McDonald's had refused to pay for the meal. And not said that they had to, but it would have been a nice gesture. And I think, you know, there's an old saying, what goes around comes around. It's kind of a lame thing, but it's paying it forward. It's a better way to say it. If you're paying it forward, you know, that you're helping somebody out, and hopefully that they'll help somebody out. And they found out, like I said, they found out that this girl had to pay for it, all these meals out of her own pocket. Not that saying, you know, this was a bad thing, but they were a little outraged that McDonald's did not help this out. So they called the manager, probably chewed him out a little bit, and they fired her. McDonald's says that, well, we didn't fire her basically for what she did, because we appreciate that. The actual wording was, the Myers organization has always valued the employees who serve our customers every day. We likewise continue to be ardent supporters of our police and fire departments, along with our first responders. They are always welcome in our restaurants and will continue to support them in the future. He said, we are aware of certain allegations that have been made concerning the reasons for Heather Laverdia's termination. Out of respect for Ms. Laverdia and her privacy, it would not be appropriate to comment on the detail on the reasons she is no longer employed by our organization. Still, it would be pointed out that the allegations are absolutely not true. We would never penalize any employee for showing appropriate gratitude for the work of our firefighters. Now, the thing is here, they said, this is a nice little cover-up. Oh, well, we didn't fire her for that. You know, most businesses will pull this bullshit. We didn't fire him for that. We came up with some other trumped-up reasons, and we fired him for that reason. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, her name is Heather Livia.
Livia.
She's 23 from Olean, New York. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Olean, I'm not sure. Anyhow,
it's somewhere in New York.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that she actually paid a $92 bill herself first without ever contacting the company.
Right.
Just out of her pocket, they had just put out a fire. She paid a $92 bill and thanked them for what they did and working so hard on a McDonald's employee's salary, which
is next to nothing.
Yeah, it can't be a lot. It was when a second department ordered $70 of food that she turned around and asked her boss if they would cover it. They said no. She then split the cost of that $70 with the rest of her coworkers.
Okay.
She was then let go by McDonald's. I think let go is a politically correct way to say she was just fired. I think it's ridiculous, and I think that it's McDonald's was probably embarrassed that they themselves were made out to look bad in this situation, and the complaints came from the fire department when they found out that this came out of the pocket of the employees and not from the corporation themselves.
Right. Because all it's a chain, because people buy these.
Yeah, it's a chain.
Yeah, a lot of these are all, even though it's a chain, it's independently owned and operated. So they pay a fee to the McDonald's Corporation or Wendy's Corporation or whatever, so they can run the restaurant under that name, so they get the recognition, as it were.
Right. That's franchising. They probably just pay a certain percentage of the amounts of the profits of the restaurant itself to the franchise itself. But anyway, I mean, she's been offered, at the time this article came out, she was offered two other jobs in the community.
That's good.
You know, hopefully she gets something good out of this and someone recognizes her character and decides that she's the type of person that they want to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work out well for her, and McDonald's will just look like a bunch of jerks.
Right. And the thing is, it says here, at her next shift, she was fired. She said the reason she was given is because they're claiming that she swore to supervisor. Oh, come on now. Really? That's the best they could come up with? She swore to supervisor? 8 years? And this is the only thing they came up with? Most people, if they do, for some people, this would be a terminable offense. But come on now. If people sometimes get a little heated, but they may have said a swear word in passing, they may not have directed at them, but that's good enough to fire? Whatever. Kind of your thoughts?
Yeah, the word she says she used was freaking. So evidently that was really offensive.
Oh,
freaking. And she's been she's been working there for 8 years. She was a manager at this point, and she has a second job. She's going to nursing school, and you already mentioned she has twins. So kudos. She can't go anywhere but up with this unhappy meal place. Part of the reason that she asked in the first place was the store routinely give coffee to police officers. And, you know, you already mentioned that, you know, she did, they went ahead and she just did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
When after she texted her manager, her boss, Amber, she got a hold of corporate, and they also told her, no, this isn't our policy. Now, and the word spread that she was the one who did this. The firefighters at first, they did not know that this wasn't just, you know, corporate. This wasn't just the McDonald's. And the firefighters mistakenly thought that Heather was made to feel obligated to do this by the management, and so they upbraided the owner. And so that I really think it's just it stinks. But again, good for her. She can't be any worse than this. And best to her. And when she's, you know, a nurse and working someplace, I feel really good about, you know, I feel good about how, you know, her kids and about her future and learning that compassion in a place that
right. We're finding out exactly how compassionate McDonald's is. These are multi-billion dollar corporations. They don't give a shit about anything except for the fucking bottom line. This is not anything that's any different than anything else that they would do either, or any other company. They look at their bottom line. They don't care about you. Anybody who thinks that, yeah, this corporation, they took me in, and this business took me in. They let me work for them, and I'm feeling so grateful. You know what? Fuck them.
Well, Mitt Romney told us that corporations are people too.
Yeah, corporations are people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. With really bad attitudes, usually.
Heartless people.
Heartless people. No, that's it. They are heartless people because there's no. If they're people, they're heartless because they don't have
heartless, brainless, and lacking courage.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, because
just go home.
Right, because you could give 20 years to a company, and then you turn around and they'll go, oh, stab in the back, you're gone, and they'll come up with any reason they need to get rid of you. And it doesn't. I don't care who you are, and you think, well, I'm grateful to them, but they're not grateful to you. You are a piece of property to them, you know, which or is they cause sometimes slave wages. Sometimes, and that's why they're called slave wages. That's why we're trying to get a raise in the minimum wage around here, because these wages are really piss poor. Speaking of slavery, we're going to get on to our next topic for this evening. And tonight, we're going to be talking about something that we have not really had been around to touch base on, but we're going to talk about slavery. People who believe in the Bible, and they think that the whole Bible is just full of moral goodness. And you know what? They're full of shit. The Bible is not full of moral goodness. There's a lot of crap that's in there. Some people say, well, there's some pretty things in there. Yeah, that doesn't outweigh the bad shit that's in there. People, especially Christians, will say, you know what, it wasn't like that. They could let him go after a certain amount of time. Well, according to the Bible, and I'm going to read this. This is from Exodus 21, from 2, passage 2 to 2 to 11. It says, when you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall be let go free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be the master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God, and shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. When a man sells his daughter as a slave, isn't that great? Sells your daughter as a slave. When a man shall sell his daughter as a slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master, who has been designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has broken faith with her. If he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her as a daughter. If he takes another wife to himself, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, her marital rights. And if she does not do these things for her, he shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Some people would say, well, you know what? It wasn't so bad. It was like slave wages. We just kind of talked about that in the last segment here. Or they were indentured servants, where they thought they were, oh, well, it doesn't matter if they taught them really well or not. These are slaves, because you could hand these people down to your children. Like, you would hand down a VCR or a tape deck or whatever. You know, this is wrong. The Bible is full of crap. And this just goes to show that people who think that you get moral implications from the Bible, you try to tell them this and they'll try to explain it away. And it just makes me fucking sick. We're going to start the timer. And the timer is right here somewhere. There it is. And the timer starts now. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, a loving God, I would think, would rise above the conventions of the day, and it would have a revolutionary view due to its omniscience, and see and know beyond the primitive mind and the ancient society. If there was an all-powerful creator who desired to communicate with us, let alone be a loving father, he would forbid slavery. It would be the one edict, one of those edicts I would actually expect him to give. Slaves are property. They're little more than animals. They are owned like cattle and sheep. And the creationists are always saying, we have all this dominion over them, then why is this happening? And it's abusive. The indentured slave was only indentured if they were the right race or gender. In other words, Israelite males.
Right.
And Christians like to wax on about the slavery being all right, but, you know, that they love their masters so much and they were treated good, but a cage is still a cage.
Right.
Just because one or two, you know, slave owners might have been nice to their slaves doesn't make it right. And
right.
These slaves couldn't own their own lives. So, you know, so much for free will, so much for all of the things that everybody say is so important to God. And I think slavery proves how petty and small that this God of the Bible is, and how he is nothing but a reflection cast in the mirror of other human beings. He's just an invention of humans.
Right.
And it's just an excuse for man to be inhumane to man.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and there, Dawkins' dog pointed out in the chat room there, and I was going to get round to that. Now, that was just for the Hebrew slaves, the 7 years thing there. That was just for the Hebrew slaves. If you were not a Hebrew or you were from another nation, I guess, you were able to take those people for slaves forever. And it's sickening. It doesn't matter if they came in with a wife or not. They were yours forever. And that makes it even worse. Even a gilded cage is still a cage. Doesn't matter. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've got a few thoughts on this. The first is that, people defend this all the time when you debate them on the Bible and slavery, and they'll say that it's different and this and that. And it's these passages have been interpreted differently by different people. However, I think it's pretty explicit that if you read what's written, it is justifying slavery.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I mean, the Confederacy during the Civil War, Jefferson Davis, I've got a quote here from him,
okay,
where he says, "It, slavery, was established by decree of Almighty God. It is sanctioned in the Bible in both testaments from Genesis to Revelation. It has existed in all ages, has been found among the people of the highest civilization and in the nations of the highest proficiency in the arts. Let the gentlemen go to Revelation to learn the decree of God. Let them go to the Bible. I said that slavery was sanctioned in the Bible, authorized, regulated, and recognized from Genesis to Revelation. Slavery existed in the earliest ages and among the chosen people of God, and in Revelation we are told that it shall exist till the end of time shall come. You find it in the Old and New Testaments, in the prophecies, Psalms, and in the epistles of Paul. You find it recognized and sanctioned everywhere." And that's Jefferson Davis. That's the president of the Confederacy,
right,
using the Bible to justify his position on slavery. It's sickening, and it is in the Bible. It is justified, and Jefferson Davis was not wrong to quote the Bible. Of course, the North then took the more relaxed interpretations of the Bible, where it's be like Christ, and it's the overall idea of Christ being forgiving and all of that, which then ignores all sorts of portions of the Bible. And obviously the New Testament as well, which did nothing to change slavery.
Right.
To people who sit there and say that it's so much different than other forms of slavery and it's indentured servitude and all of that, I would offer to them Exodus 21, 20 through 21, which is when a man strikes his male or female slave with a rod so hard that his slave dies under his hand, he shall be punished. If, however, the slave survives for a day or two, he is not to be punished, since the slave is his own property.
That's right.
It blows my mind that people are going to sit there and say that this is so much different when the Bible is saying that you can beat them with a rod so hard that as long as they don't die within a few days, it's fine because
right.
it's your property. I mean, that's not indentured.
And you know, I'm sorry. And one other thing, though, is if let's say the guy didn't die in the first couple of days, but if he dies a week later, you're off the hook.
Well, yeah, and what if he's paralyzed for the rest of his life, or what if he's crippled from thereafter, or what if you blind him, or you do this or that? So long as he doesn't die, it's fine,
right?
According to the Bible, Paul turned around and returned a slave to his master, and he says to essentially go easy on him. Here,
right.
I'll return the slave to his master, but go easy on him.
Right.
I mean, that's absolute bullshit, and Martin Luther would justify that when he would speak, and he would say, well, this is Paul teaching us to maintain the status quo. Whatever that means,
right.
Maintain the status quo. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did with him never saying that slavery was wrong and continuing on with slavery from the Old Testament into the New Testament. I mean, it's absurd to me that people would justify this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And people would say, well, Jesus is such a great guy, but it says here This is supposedly Jesus speaking from Ephesians 6:5. It says, "Slaves, obey your masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ." That's Jesus speaking.
Yeah, and that's what they say in the New Testament. Almost everything they speak of about slaves in the New Testament is directed towards slaves being obedient to their masters.
Right.
And nothing else. I mean, the rules for how to regulate and own them is from the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, they continue to just talk to the slaves directly and say, be obedient. That's it.
Right. And they're trying to equate this with you being... Oh, there we go, and there's a timer. Quick finish my thought there, that they're trying to equate this to you're being obedient to God. You know, you're the slave, in their eyes, you're the slave to God. So you have to be obedient to your master, which is God. So, and it's the same mindset. You know, if you're going to be obedient to your masters here on earth, you have to be obedient to God, who is supposed to be your master in outer space, wherever the fuck they think God is, apparently. But,
well, they're consistent.
Yeah, they are that. Yeah, because they're worried about God beating, whipping you, you know? But no, you, or just going to hell, I guess.
I just thought we needed a sarcastic cheery on
top. No, that's fine. But the whole notion that this passage is in the Bible, and they didn't say, you know, why didn't Jesus come out and say, hey, you know what? Then... the slavery thing, don't be owning another human being in any way, shape, or form. But no, as I said before, you obey your master as you would obey Christ. So Jesus was not the big moral fucker you people think he is. And you religious people out there who do come out and watch the channel, fuck your Jesus and fuck you for thinking that this is a moral book. Anyway... all right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Godless Clown. I like the name, Godless Clown. He says, "I'll start a podcast. I'd start a podcast, but I have a job and several hobbies and friends and a wank sock." Well, Perry doesn't have a girlfriend, obviously. He's got hobbies, a job, but no girlfriend. Dave, your thoughts?
You know, you can start a podcast if, sure, if you've got a girlfriend.
Well, yeah, that's... You could. But he doesn't, apparently, because he's got a wank sock.
Right. Well, wank sock's pretty... I mean, that's good, too.
Kind of here.
I mean, it's probably pretty stiff at this point.
At least washes it once in a while, hopefully.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe they could take a bubble bath together.
There you go.
Self-love is the most important love. I keep hearing this, so, you know, you just...
Yeah. Did you have any other thoughts there, Connie?
Well, at least he's not bowling.
Right. My daughter's sitting there grabbing her head. No, I don't want to hear this.
Sorry. My kids probably don't want to hear those words coming out of my mouth either.
Yes, yes.
I want to say them behind my back.
So. Right. Make it stop. Make it
my
stop.
My wank sock is someone else's sock, and I put it back in the drawer.
No! I was wondering why my socks were all stiff this morning, Dave. Thank you.
You little devil.
So it's a little bit of love starch, Packard.
All right, let's get on to our next topic.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out this evening comes from me, and it's for Zach Leotelli, Tally. It's Z-A-C-K underscore L-E-O underscore T-A-L-L-Y. He's a fun follow on Twitter. He has a lot of very poignant tweets, and he posts some pictures and things like that there, too. He doesn't have a whole lot of subs, or follows, I should say. But he has this awesome picture in the background of his account. It has a head, and on the top of the head is a city going to the back, and it's actually kind of cool looking. But he goes by Secularist Leo. He says he's an Army vet, militant atheist, student, bipartisan, pro-rights, shame the shameful, and Good Without God from Seattle, Washington. And he says, go Hawks and Fort Benning. So,
woo-hoo.
Yeah, that's out by you, Connie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give him a follow and tell him you heard him on the show. And again, his name is on Twitter is Z-A-C-K underscore L-E-O underscore T-A-L-L-Y. Okay. Well, that's it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming, and even the few people that showed up in the chat room late. We still appreciate it. And remember, give us a call. We are at – I don't know our number. Our number is at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. Let us know what we did right, what we did wrong. We just want to hear from you. Leave your name and a number – or not name – well – you know, you can leave your number, I guess. Just don't read it in the phone there.
I'll call him back.
Yeah, Dave will call you back, and he'll go, what are you wearing?
Pseudonym.
Right.
Alias.
Use an alias. I don't care. Just give us a call.
Crime-fighting name.
Right, give us your crime-fighting name. This last podcast. Anyway. And we'll... hopefully, and if you leave a message, we'll play it here on the air. Just don't leave any personal details in there. I mean, as far as like a phone number or anything like that. So we won't play that part anyway. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk to you next week with our short show. This has been Packer Pokes That We Just Poked at Your News.
And that's a wrap.